Welcome, thank you for standing by. All participants are in listen-only mode throughout the duration of the conference. This call is being recorded. If you have any objections, you may disconnect at this point. Now, I will turn the meeting over to our host, Marquee Flannery. You may begin.
Thank you. Hello, everyone, and thanks for joining me on the call today. There were just a handful of questions that were submitted, so if anyone has a question they would like to ask, please feel free to send it in now while I'm sharing a couple of remarks with you, and that way we can get to those questions at the conclusion of my talk. So fall is now officially here. According to the National Weather Service, the autumnal equinox occurred at 9:31 a.m. yesterday. Although fall temperatures seem to arrive a few days early, but the good news is the warmer weather is now upon us over the next few days. Besides being the start of fall, this is National Rehabilitation Awareness Week. So let me again thank all of our rehab therapists and therapy assistants for the amazing work you do every day with our patients, clients, and plan members. A Zoom celebration will be held for our therapy staff at 11 a.m. on October 2nd. As of Monday, New York State has now reported a COVID-19 positive test rate of less than 1% for 44 of the 45 last days. The positive test rate for New York City on Monday was exactly 1%, while Long Island reported a 1.1% rate and the Mid-Hudson region is 1.2%. The number of people hospitalized across New York State has also remained under 500. New York has reported 3 deaths from COVID-19 on Monday and just 1 on Sunday, the lowest daily number since the pandemic began. Although even 1 death is too many. Overall, these numbers show that New York, along with the surrounding states, continues to do a good job of keeping the COVID curve flat. Unfortunately, 3 of our own VNSNY staff members did test positive for COVID-19 in the past week. This is a reminder for all of us that even though the curve is low in our region, we still have to stay vigilant and keep following all preventive measures, including social distancing, washing your hands, wearing a face mask around others, and getting your flu shot. So far, over 60 VNSNY staff members have already received their flu shot and submitted that information to health services. That's a great start. Now we need everyone else to get one. We've made it very easy to get your flu shot. Just go to the VNSNY intranet homepage and click on the Fight the Flu banner. Or for Partners in Care staff, go to the Partners in Care resource page on Frontline. There, you'll find complete information on how to get a free flu shot, including how to print out a voucher for a free shot at Walgreens, Duane Reade, or CVS. For the moment, these vouchers are your best option. We expect to get our shipment of flu vaccine within the next week or two. Once that shipment gets here, we'll be offering shots in our regional offices. So stay tuned. Schools across the tri-state area are now open. As New York City parents know, the city schools have begun remote classes, but they've moved their start date for in-person learning to next Tuesday, September 29th, for elementary schools, and Thursday, October 1st, for middle and high schools. Most New York City students will be in the classroom 1 to 3 days per week and will do distance learning the rest of the time. Speaking of school, the results of our employee child survey are in. About 1,500 staff responded, 60% of whom have at least one child under the age of 18 living at home. While many parents were still awaiting final word about the fall plans for the children's school when the survey was conducted, one thing that's clear is that supervising children while they're doing remote learning is a big issue. About half of the respondents indicated that they're sharing remote learning responsibilities with someone else, often a family member, but the other half said they're doing it alone with their children during distance learning. Everyone responding to the survey also indicated that they want and need flexibility and understanding of their home situation and support in managing it. I should add that it wasn't just parents with children under 18 who expressed this. Some respondents are struggling with caring for elderly parents. Others have older children with special needs. And we also heard from a number of grandparents who are actively helping their adult children supervise their grandchildren. I want to thank everyone who responded to the survey, and I also want to assure you that we hear your concerns loud and clear. We're already working to make adjustments based on your feedback. We're also adding many of the tools and resources that you flagged to our parent support page on the intranet. One of the survey's biggest findings, though, is that those of you with parenting or other responsibilities need to engage more with your managers to share your situation and brainstorm solutions on how to balance work and home needs. Only about 20% of the survey respondents indicated that they had done this so far. So I encourage everyone with childcare or other family pressures to please sit down with your managers and discuss how VNSNY can support you. Shifting to our business units, our census numbers continue to hold steady at levels more or less even with where we were before COVID-19 pandemic began. While the number of COVID-19 patients we're caring for remains quite low. So it appears that we're settling into a much more normal flow of referrals as we head into autumn, which is good news. We're also going to be starting up our virtual VNSNY cafes in the next few weeks, so watch for details on that. As 2021 draws closer, we're also getting closer to the time when I'll be stepping down and our Chief Financial Officer, Dan Savitt, will be taking over as CEO on February 1st. If anyone hasn't yet seen Dan's video that was posted on Frontline yesterday, please take a few minutes to watch it. In the several years that he's been here, Dan has come to know our organization extremely well, and he's going to do a great job taking it forward. While you're on the Frontline website, I encourage you to check out some of the other articles featured on the homepage. Partners in Care staff will be especially interested in the terrific Q&A interview with Jim Rolla, the new Senior Vice President for Partners in Care. There's also an article about our new Community Collaborations platform, which brings together information on all of our community engagement programs in one place, so all of our staff can access it. Finally, we have two support calls for Partners in Care Home Health Aides this week, one held yesterday and another on Thursday at 1 p.m. Our support call for staff recovering from COVID-19 took place yesterday, and our all-staff support call will take place on Thursday at 10:15 a.m. In addition, anyone interested in participating in our parent support group at 4 p.m. on Thursday afternoon should email Leah Bloomberg. You'll find her email address on the parent support page in the COVID-19 section of the intranet. So that concludes my update. I will now turn to the questions that were sent by email to the COVID-19 conference call mailbox. So the first question, employees who have children who are doing remote learning, will those parents still be able to work remote some days to help their children if they don't have extra support? So we are definitely looking at how we can support these employees. Where there are roles that must be full-time in the office, we may not be able to provide that support, but the majority of our roles can be shared where they're in the office part-time and they are working remotely on other days, and your managers can work with you on addressing that. Next question. When will the recordings of the Markey's call from last week be posted? So, in fact, this was updated already since the time that that question was received. Next question. Will VNSNY participate in the payroll tax holiday? On August 28th, the IRS issued a notice allowing employers to suspend withholding and paying to the IRS eligible employees Social Security payroll taxes as part of COVID relief. This holiday or suspension period runs from September 1 through December 31 and applies only to employees whose wages are less than $4,000 for a biweekly pay period, including salaried workers earning less than $104,000. Companies that suspend collection of employees' payroll tax would have to collect additional amounts from workers' checks from January 1 through April 30th of next year to repay the tax obligation. So we have made a decision about this, and Marion will share that decision, which I believe has also been sent out via email. Marion?
Yes, this is Marion Haas from Human Resources. The notice went out today from Human Resources explaining that we made a decision not to participate in this so-called tax holiday or suspension period. We did not think it made sense for our employees or VNSMY to put off this payroll deduction and contribution for Social Security until next year, when it would have to be collected in the first quarter. So we will not be participating in this plan.
Thank you,
Marky.
Next question. This relates to commuter benefits. Good morning, and thank you for having these weekly calls. This question pertains to the commuter benefits, and I can't recall if it was asked before. I realize that we can use commuter benefits for services like Uber and Lyft. However, we can only use it for pool services in which multiple people can ride in the same vehicle. Considering that social distancing is now in effect for safety reasons and Uber and Lyft has suspended its pool services, is there a way that we can use these commuter benefits without using pool? Marion, I'm going to send it back to you again.
Thanks, Marky. And I wish there were a way. It certainly makes sense that we can't be socially distant and use pool services like Lyft and Uber. Unfortunately, the use of commuter benefits is governed by the IRS, and I guess Lyft and Uber are not pool services are not limited in all parts of the country. So in New York, where they are, we cannot use commuter benefits to pay for Uber and Lyft services. We put a question into our WageWorks administrator as well as into our other consultants, and unfortunately right now there doesn't seem to be any action to change this for areas like ours where pool services are suspended. If we get any information that this changes, we will certainly let everybody know. Thanks for
Thank
the question.
Next question. This relates to the daily COVID health assessment. If the daily COVID health assessment could be shortened as the entire process takes 5 minutes of each of our mornings to complete, it would be greatly appreciated. So I complete this every morning because I'm in the office each day, and I found that it does not take to me, it doesn't take 5 minutes. It's probably all of a minute to be able to go through. But I'm going to ask Marion if she can respond to this.
Yes. Other employees have had the same experience as you described, Marky. We did ask HR Connect to follow up with the person who asked this specific question. There may be an issue with access or the device that they're using or the responsiveness of the device to Workday. So we're trying to troubleshoot that with the person who asked this question.
Great. Thank you. Next question. Is the flu voucher available to all of my family members who are covered under my health plan? So I'm going to come back to you, Marion, again on this one.
Unfortunately, no. The flu voucher is only intended for employees. If your family members are covered under your plan, the flu shot would certainly be covered under your regular health insurance coverage, whether you got it at CVS or your family practitioner or any other area where it's available.
Thank you. Next question. I'm not sure if I missed this information at another time, but did we receive our 2% increase? I know that it was mentioned that we would receive it in July, but I'm not sure if I missed it. So the 2% increase was, in fact, implemented in the beginning of July. I want to remind everyone that this increase is for the non-union staff, that the staff who are covered under a collective bargaining agreement received their increases in accordance with the terms of their collective bargaining agreement. This increase that was implemented in July was the one that we were going to implement on April 1st, and we deferred it until July. So Marion can follow up with this person to make sure that they didn't get missed in the interim. Is that okay with you, Marion?
We have already done so, and the person did receive the increase, and that person
Excellent.
Has been advised.
Terrific. Thank you. Next question relates to phones. I work on call, and I hear constant complaints from patients and family members over not getting through to the office in a timely manner or holding on too long, sometimes 15 minutes, only to get the call to drop. Can calling into the office be more streamlined? So I'm going to ask Michael Bernstein to respond to this question.
Yes, thank you, Marky. Hi, everybody. It's Michael Bernstein, and I'm our Chief Administrative Officer. And I first want to say this question is really important to address and appreciate the fact that it was sent in, and encourage everybody who is seeing a similar thing, you know, not to be concern about sharing it, because this is not a situation that is lost on us as an organization. We have suffered at some level from not people, patients, and members not being able to get through to us in the office, and also for being on hold a long time or for calls dropping. So what are we doing about it? Well, the first thing is we have initiated something we are referring to as the Contact Center Shared Services Program, and we hired Dan Wallace, our VP of Contact Center Shared Services, who joined us in March in order for us to wrap our heads around all of this and get better. And one of the first things that we undertook was an extensive search for the right, what is called telephony platform, the right software, in order to ensure that we have a much more efficient way to handle the incoming calls. And we are at the final stages with implementation for that new platform to occur this fall. And additionally, we are working to create a new structure where we can provide learning, development, and quality measurements, service excellence, workforce management, the kinds of shared service skills that will make us better at handling incoming calls effectively and create a better patient and family member experience. And lastly, we're also working on trying to really address what causes these people to need to call us in the first place. Because to the extent that we can provide information to them proactively and reduce their need to make a call into our office and be put on hold or a call drop, we are also going to create a better experience. So thank you for the question. This is a very important area of focus for us this year and into next year and ongoing. Thank you, Martin.
Thanks, Michael. Next question. I only found an expired CVS flu voucher with an expiration date of March 31st, 2020. Where can I find an updated voucher? Marion, can you direct how to find the most updated voucher?
Yes. If you click on the banner on the intranet landing page, it will take you directly to a page that has links for the pharmacy vouchers, CVS, Walgreens, Duane Reade. I believe what may have happened, this person may have just searched for flu voucher, and old ones that still are on SharePoint, although they're expired, may have come up. But if you use that landing page template, you will go right to the link to Duane Reade or CVS.
Great, thank you. Next question: How many employees currently have COVID in the past month? Are they in the Bronx, Brooklyn, Westchester, or Manhattan? So I know that from these calls, last couple of weeks there weren't any positive, and then this week, as I mentioned, we had three. Of course, there are still some people who have COVID positive that from prior who are continuing to improve. But maybe, Tony, you might have some additional information than what I just shared.
So this is Tony Dawson, Vice President of Quality and Customer Experience. So we track the number of COVID positive patients who call us, employees who call us on a weekly basis, and we review that on this call every week. And as Marky said, we had a couple of weeks where we had nobody, And then we had this week three positive employees. And then we tracked that on the CERT team as to which branch they come from and where their disposition is. And some people test positive and do extremely well. Some people test positive and are out for a number of weeks. So that's, you know, HIPAA protected information that we keep between the employees and us so that we can track and trend that data. Thanks, Marky.
Thank you. Next question. I heard you can donate unused commuter benefits. If that's true, can you tell us where and how we can do this? Marion, do you know anything about this?
I have not heard that you can donate unused commuter benefits, but I will look into that for everyone and let you know.
Thank you. Next question. Hello, do our weekly meetings, which we have most times twice per week, count toward our productivity? This is our work time and will make sense if they're counted as well towards productivity. So I think this is probably a question best for Andrea. I'm not sure if you can respond to this question.
Yes, hi, Marky. This is Andrea Castellanos. I'm the Chief of Provider Services. And so we recognize that COVID has taken more time, or certain, I'll call it unproductive patient time. So, for example, if you're taking care of a COVID patient, putting on and taking off PPE takes longer. Some of your travel may take longer. If you join the conference call, that is part of or should be part of your productive time, and we are taking that into consideration when we look at productivity on average. Thank you, Marky.
Thank you. Next question. Please add the plan ID number to the Walgreens Pharmacy flu voucher. I went to the Walgreens Pharmacy in Valley Stream, and the pharmacist was insisting that the plan ID was required. I printed the flu voucher to the Walgreens Pharmacy in Valley Stream, Long Island. The pharmacist did not want to accept the voucher because of the NSNY plan ID number was missing and was requesting my Social Security, which I refused to provide. I provided my employee ID number instead. Does this sound right to you, Marion, or is this a confused pharmacy, perhaps?
Yes, it may be a confused pharmacy. We have found that some of the pharmacies' practices are different, but we will check that voucher to see if we can add the VNSMY plan ID to that Walgreens voucher. Thank you for bringing it to our attention.
Thank you. So those were the questions that were asked in advance, as well as a handful that came in while I was giving my talk. So again, I want to thank you all for your time and attention this afternoon. I hope you have a good rest of your week and that you're able to join the call next week. Thank you and have a good day.